All right, so as you all know, we have been working this month on a series of trying to understand principles of behavior, cultural principles of behavior, in a way that would be more spiritually true for us. So we looked at kindness, we looked at love. Is everybody doing okay with all of our awarenesses? Are you doing your homework? All right, okay. Today we're going to talk about become. In our world, we are taught to become what you came to be, become who you are. So you grow or become by definition in Webster's. You grow to become something. And in our world, this is something measurable, it's something definable, and it's also something that is contributing or has a certain amount of value. Valuable. We're going to call it valuable. So as an adult, as Cindy, an adult, unless a couple of people in the world find who I am and what I contribute as valuable, I would be in trouble, wouldn't I? If I were a farmer living on the land, making my own clothing, making my own tools, totally self-sustaining, which I am not, I'd be fine, right? Making your own clothes, your own tools, your own food. Totally self-sustaining, you'd be fine. But unless you are that, I need someone to like my contribution enough to give me a little piece of paper or some form of energy exchange so that I can take that and I can go to the grocery store and buy some food that the farmer grew, right? So I have to have some value in our world as we know it. Do you understand? It is deep within us. But we translate that normal survival value into value at many levels and at many costs. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So, value is important in our realm. Contribution is important. So we need to be measurable, definable, valuable, and recognized in the world as good at our game. Whatever our game is, whatever we're contributing, we need to be good at our game. Okay? So, we, as a people, can then understand who you are, if you're good at your game. We, as a people, now can understand how to interact with you. This is all cultural. Okay? It's deep within us. So, it brings us safety, it brings us money, it allows energy exchange with others. But what did Jesus say about becoming? Jesus said, you are a child of God. So let me read one of the early lessons in his journey. He was talking to the Sudras. This is in chapter 25:23. A Sudra said, we're just slaves. And Jesus said, the Holy One has said that all his children shall be free, and every soul is a child of God. The Sudras shall be as free as the priest. The farmer shall walk hand in hand with the king, for all the world will own the brotherhood of man. O man, arise, be conscious of your powers, for he who wills need not remain a slave. Just live as you would have your brother live. Unfold each day as does the flower, for the earth is yours and heaven is yours, and God will bring you all you need. And the people cried, show us the way that like the flower we may unfold and come into our own. So grow like the flower. So living as a flower, when you tell one of your clients to do that, they look at you very strangely. But it is really about taking the sustenance in of the earth plane while keeping your eye and growing toward the sun. Does a flower not grow toward the sun? And does it not take in all the sustenance it needs? But its trajectory goes to the source. Without the light, without the sun, it would not become. So we, growing as the flower, we take in the sustenance of the earth plane, but we need to take our focus to the sun and keep our eye on God, the light. Very simple, right? Okay. In Jesus' time, when Jesus tried to take, in Jesus' time, he had to change our vision. He had to take our vision from this world so that we could look to God, look to spirit, so we could look to the sun. Because our vision was all about survival. You realize that in that day and time. It pretty much is sometimes today, too. So he said, no man is a slave, yet do we not all enslave ourselves to certain situations and things? We all do at various times in our lives. We have to shift the focus to see the new reality. We have to become something different. So if in our reality, becoming is to become measurable, and yet we are a child of God, that measurableness, God is unlimited. It cannot be measured. That defined, we have to be defined in this world. Yet God is all, and we are one with the all. There is no definition. And valuable. Really, if you are one with the all, there is no separation. And only in separation can value be determined. If I am one with it, there's no value. If I am separate from, and Kelly has something I need, Kelly's now valuable to me. But we are separate in that. Do you see? That when we are one, value disappears too. As child of God, the measuring, the defining, and the value no longer matter. We shift into a new space. So if my eye is on being a child of God, I will be unlimited, I will be one with God, and I will be in the flow, because where there is no separation, the energy flows freely. I will be unlimited, I will be one with God, and I will be in the flow of God love. Becoming child of God. When I say that, does that make you feel different? Unlimited, one with God, and in the flow of the energy. There's a beauty to it, isn't it? There's a beauty to it. So how do we shift our focus to that awareness? How do we shift our focus to that awareness? So many years ago, July 23rd, 2013, I was given the assignment, which I've shared many, many times. My assignment was, Cindy, from Spirit, if you will, for 1 year, speak positively about everyone, you will be amazed at how your life will change. And you all know I have started my year over many, many, many times. When I succeed, there will be a party. I will consciously be really aware of it and then be critical of a character on the TV program. Why are they lying? So, it's a task that Spirit asked me to do. If I could do it, speak positively about everyone, what would I be doing? I'd be seeing the Christ in everybody. Everybody. And Patrick's already said, well, you're only speaking the truth. Didn't say speak the truth. Speak positive. See the Christ in everybody. So that's my challenge. But it's hard to do, y'all. It's hard to do. So there are two items that I want us to focus on today that have helped me tremendously in my journeys, two steps that we can take to help us shift our focus from the measurable, defining value of me to the unlimited, one with all there is, in the flow with God. So the first step was something I learned many, many years ago when I first started metaphysics. One of my teachers told me this, and I can't give credit. I think it was one, but I'll just not give credit to any of them because I could be wrong. But she said, oh, it's probably Edwin Gaines. Okay, I'll give her credit because I can see her saying it. She said, what must I change about myself so that I can have, experience, and express what I want to do? Do you hear me? Because we know that our thought, body, construct, who we are, our emotions, our thoughts, our subconscious mind, our spirit, everything that we are is expressing totally what it can right now. Right now. So if I want more, different, something better, it's in me. What must I change within me to have more, different, something better? The kids will say, you don't know what you don't know. You really don't know what you don't know. And when you ask that question, the answer that comes is startling. I what? I really do that? Yes, I do. I need to change that? Yes, I do. You know, and you're not asking people, you're asking spirit. What must I change about myself so that I can lift into a greater focus on you, God? What must I change about who I am in this world so that I can become a child of God with you? And whatever you get, you do. Even if you don't understand it, you do it. Because we're changing something within us. So, meditate, ask, and implement. Those are the three things they said. Ask what you can change, meditate on it, ask, and then the last one, implement. Do it. Do it. Do it. I've talked to people all the time. Yeah, I knew that. I knew that. I knew that. I know you did. When you gonna do it? I will say something to people. Patrick does this sometimes. You know, you are the second person that's told me to do that. And I said, do you really want to wait for the third? Do it. Implement. Okay? Meditate, ask, implement. And then look to the sun. Look to God. This is number two. I, in my early studies as well, began to learn the understanding of win-win, and everybody is a channel of my good. If everyone is a channel of my good, then what I'm receiving, I don't owe. Angie brings me something fabulous. Thank you, Angie. You're a blessing for my good. I don't write on my list, I owe Angie, blah, blah, blah. Because I know that God's going to return it to Angie. It's going to come back to Angie because we are in the flow. So everyone is a channel of my good. And to really own that, once you really own it, the world shifts. It literally shifts. One of my very famous stories, I have so many famous stories. You know, I tell you the ones when it first happened because I'm so excited about it. Those are the ones I remember. It's happened a million times since, but that one's the one that sticks in my brain. So you get to hear it again. I was probably 35, and I was working at PDK Airport in a hangar. I was running my boss's businesses. He had five little businesses that were aside from the big one, and so I had an office in the hangar. I was the only office person there. And there were all these guys. They were refurbishing an airplane, a big plane. They were smart technicians. And I was sad. I was so sad, and I just said, God, I need to know you love me. I just need some flowers. God, I just need some flowers. And I just did that. It was my prayer going in. I was sad. And so at lunchtime, the older man, he was probably, now I'm young, so he's probably in his 60s. He was one of the lead, been in aviation his whole life. Came in gruff, at lunch, flowers in his hand. And he said to me, I do not know why I got these for you. But I was at lunch, and I had to get them for you. And I said, oh, my God, you don't know how awesome. I asked God for flowers, and you brought them for me. I gave him a hug, and we probably never exchanged many words since that point. Do you know what I'm saying? But he was my channel, and I blessed him as a channel. I didn't say, and God will return to you all that you've given a thousandfold. I did in my mind. But I blessed him. I let him know, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, my God, you just made my day. And I told him, I have been praying for this. And that happened many times when I'd need flowers. Flowers would appear for me. It's like, from the strangest sources, like God told me to get this for you. It's like, yes, thank you. You are my channel. When you get that down, when you really understand that the world is my channel, and I was in corporate at the time, I came to own this job serves me. I had a demanding boss. I don't serve him. I am giving my talent to him, but it's because God put me here so that I could take my training and get ordained. I was in ministerial school. This job serves me. I don't serve him. I am not slave to his desires, which everybody else was. This job serves me. And he learned to tell everybody Cindy leaves at 3. If you want her, you need to call her before then. She's here at 7:30. She works these days. Don't bug her after that. He told his staff that because the job was serving me. Do you hear what I'm saying? Whereas everybody else he called at midnight. Does anybody have a boss like that? It will shift. Everything is a channel of our good. Everything is a channel of our good. Even he was a channel of my good. The boss was a channel of my good. Everything was a channel of my good. And he got blessed for paying me. He got blessed for being participatory in my world. But I was working for God. With me? So when we can have the idea, then my eye in the world is not about what do I need to give the world so they can give it to me. My eye in the world is, God, where do you want me to share? And what do you need me to do? And how can I contribute my gifts? See how we're shifting up? When my eye is on the world as an expression of God, then the focus begins to see things as spiritually. When my eye is on the world as an expression of God, then I can see things spiritually. So these are two steps that help you keep your eye on spirit. What must I change about myself? And everything is a channel of God's good for me. And I bless the channels. I don't owe the channels. I bless the channels. And as I was working on this, Spirit said, add one more. Okay. Because they were giving them to me. Okay. Tell them to expect good. When you're flowing in the energy of God love and you're in that, you should expect good. Expect good to come to you. Okay? All right. So Jesus said, there is so much I could tell you, but you are not yet ready. Do you guys remember that? So what did he say? I want to share two things. This is 91, 35. Jesus said, all men are sons of God, and if they live a holy life, they are always at home with God. If your eye is on God, you're always at home with God. They can see and understand the works of God, and in his sacred name, they can perform these works. The lightnings and the storms are messengers of God, as well as the sunshine, rain, and dew. The virtue of the heavens are in God's hand, and every loyal son may use these virtues and these powers. Man is the delegate of God to do his will on earth, and man can heal the sick, control the spirits of the air, raise the dead. Because I have the power to do these things is nothing strange. Don't you think that looks strange? Don't you think that when they saw him heal for the first time in their day in life, they went, oh my goodness. This is nothing strange. All men may gain the power to do these things, but they must conquer the passion of the lower self, and they can conquer if they will. And I would say shift our focus from our lower self to the divine. So man is God on earth, and he who honors God must honor man, for God and man are one, as father and child are one. I have things to tell you that you may not understand yet, but he told them that. How powerful is that? You have the capacity to do everything. You have the capacity to heal, to talk to nature, to communicate with spirit. Then in 75:12, he says that he's talking to Nicodemus about being born of flesh or water. This is a very famous standard Christian thing, but let's take this one. That which is born of flesh is child of man. That which is born of holy breath is child of God. The winds blow where they please. Men hear their voices and may note results, but they know not from whence they came nor where they go. So is everyone that is born of holy breath. Holy breath is your eye on spirit that allows you to navigate the earth plane in a way the earth cannot understand. And literally become one day like Jesus, transforming your body, but at least energetically navigating in a way the earth cannot understand. The kingdom of the Holy One is in the soul. Man cannot see it with carnal eyes. Their reasoning powers cannot comprehend it. It is a life hid deep in God. Its recognition is in the work of inner consciousness. Then he said, men cannot see the love of God unmanifest, so God our Father has clothed this love with flesh, the flesh of a son of man. And he was saying, men cannot see the love of God, basically because their eyes are on this world, so I came to this world. You can see me? I've got the Son of God in me. Son of God's in you. Let me show you. You see? So he came to show all mankind the divinity within themselves. Jesus saw everything. He saw things with the eyes of energy. He saw everything with the eyes of spirit. Jesus brought God light into the earthly vibrations to renew, enliven, and reveal the truth. He healed, he educated, he manifested, all bringing God's energy into being. And you know, he manifested the food for the multitudes. And do you guys remember the fish story? There was a tax, he needed a shekel, and Peter said, "Oh, we have no money." And Jesus said, go fish, grab a fish. In the fish that you catch in the water, there'll be a shekel inside it. Go pay the taxes. I've seen that happen. Have you not seen that kind of manifestation which should not happen on a material level? Because I've heard ministers argue that, well, he fished and sold the fish and it was a shekel. Well, it's highly possible. I'm not going to argue it, but I've seen the other happen, where manifest actually appears where it shouldn't. That is the spiritual capacity to operate on this level, to intercede and to change this reality. That's the spiritual energy. All right. There is a key that he gave us. I'm going to read it to you in 153:11. God can do nothing more for man than they would do for other men. Do you know what that means? If you, in your consciousness, hold any belief that blocks your ability to receive, God cannot come in and take that belief away from you. You have to change the belief yourself. You hear what I'm saying? You're a free will child of God. You get have a right to believe whatever you want. If you believe in lack and live in lack and love lack, God is not going to come in and change you. You have to want to change. So God can do nothing more for you than you would do for other men. And the reality is, who you are is what you do for other men. The consciousness you live in is what you contribute. So we are responsible for our own elevation, for our own rise, our own shift in focus. We're responsible. We are responsible. You want more, give more. You want God to talk to you this way, open to receive and talk to people that way. Am I making sense to you guys? All right. And here we go. 161, this is right as he was leaving. He says this many times that I want to read it to you. "Hear me, you faithful men," he's speaking to his disciples. "He who believes in me and in my God, my Father, God, shall say and do what I have said and done. Yea, more, he shall do greater works than I have ever done, because I go to him whose works I do. And then I can reach forth in helpfulness." So we've heard that many, many times, but everything I shall do, you shall do in greater. Okay? And I want you to look at the word shall. You shall do in greater. Not if you get around to it, or if you grow, or if you don't want to, that's fine. You know? But if you are a child of God, as is every living being, man, we shall at some point do these things. It is not an option. You can take all eternity to do it if you want. You can go through many dimensions. You can go through many iterations of humanity. Do whatever you want to do. But one day, you shall understand the love of God manifest in this reality or in a reality like this. Do you guys get that? It is not who you are. It's who you are. So in Life and Teachings of the Masters of the Far East, Book 1, it says this. "Man has not learned to do the greater works of God because he has not realized the greatness of God's power and known that he has not realized the greatness of God's power is for man's use." And then it says, "Each individual is held in divine mind as a perfect idea. None of us has to conceive himself." You are a perfect idea in the mind of God. We have been perfectly conceived, are always held in the perfect mind of God as perfect beings. When we realize this, we can know ourselves as we are in reality, not what we have thought ourselves to be. And here's your quote for the day. It is not the being of the form that we wish to change, but the form the being has assumed. You do not have to change. The form that you have assumed, which is your ideas, your consciousness, your beliefs, the reality you've created around yourself, that's what needs to change. When you are ready, and when you're asking, but who you are is perfect. Got it? Becoming the flower that takes all the sustenance up. Yes, I want to be valuable. Yeah, that's cool. Oh, yes, but I want to look to the sun and bring all that light into me. All right, let's go within. Just take a breath. Father, Mother, God, we ask that your light just engulf each one. And God, I humble my heart to you. I ask that each one feel you as this beautiful light engulfs them and holds them in a sacred space. I welcome Jesus Christ to stand with all. And I would invite you all just to begin to allow your focus to go to the heart center. Imagine you can just walk into a space of the garden of your heart. Feel Jesus by your side. Feel the peace. As you breathe in the love of God, feel that you can touch the unlimited nature of God. And take a breath and breathe in. I am unlimited. And as you breathe it in, just feel that I am one with God. Nothing is withheld from me. There is no separation, no distance. I am one with God. And the flow of God love is all around me. I am lifting up. The flow of God love is all around me. Take the hand of Jesus Christ, look in his eyes. You see his perfection. Now see your own. I am a child of God. Feel that love just gently swirling around you. Feel it as Jesus Christ gently brings you back into this moment. Let yourself come back. Feel the chair. Feel your feet on the floor. And I want you to imagine you can feel all the sustenance of Mother Earth just coming up through the base of your feet. Everything you need on this earth plane comes to support you. And feel the love of spirit pouring through the top of your head, your crown chakra. I grow as the flower. And I thank you, God. And breathe, and when you're ready, you can just gently bring your awareness to you and gently open your eyes. I hope you could touch a bit of that energy. And if you could not, you know what? You asked. And because you asked, it's going to happen. You'll be driving home tonight and you'll go, oh my God, I feel like I'm one with God. That is how it works. When you ask, you shall receive. Now don't be afraid to do your homework. What must I change about myself? I want to bless all my channels and I'm going to expect good. Say, yay, God.
Yay, God.